Hallelujah. Such a sweet presence of the Lord tonight. And those of you that have handouts, the title of the message tonight is Sow Forgiveness and Reap Godly Benefits. And that prayer should be something that people do more frequently than not, and increase the amount of time that we do it. And not just that it's a prayer, but it becomes a lifestyle. And that's what ABC is teaching us. Amen? And so we're going to review some of the things that many of us know about forgiveness, but we're going to take it up a notch, and we're going to go deeper and deeper and dig into the treasure mine of the Word of God and get more gems from it. Amen? We find that most people who still have ailments in their bodies or have any kind of mental health diagnosis, emotional challenges, it all comes from the devil, right? And God wants to see us fully manifested in our healing. God has said that we are already healed in our mind, in our body, right? But many a times there are roots, and it goes down deep into the heart of wounds of how people have done us wrong or offended us. And even though we have confessed with our mouth and forgiven them, and we truly mean it, we truly want to forgive them, sometimes there's residuals of pain in our heart. And sometimes it's emotional pain. And sometimes it parallels and becomes physical pain. And that's why people have heart attacks, because they have some brokenness in their spiritual heart. We find that when people are dealing with cancer, with arthritis, with chronic illnesses, reoccurring illnesses, and one of the roots of every disease and infirmity is unforgiveness. And people will say, but I forgave them. I prayed the prayer. I did it myself. I understand what you mean. But then there's still challenges in your physical body. I don't know if anybody's ever gone through that, but just me, you know. And then I would go to the Lord and say, okay, what areas of unforgiveness am I unaware of that I haven't gotten all the roots out? You know, I may have told you the story before, but I constantly remember this story because it helps me. One time, someone was teaching at another church I went to before I came here, and he had an object lesson. And he had this big old dirty branch just sitting there on the pulpit the whole time he was doing his introduction, and dirt's falling off everyone on the carpet and everything. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know if the cleaning crew is going to really like that. And he proceeded to say, well, I have to repent that I was really lazy, and my wife kept telling me to go mow the backyard. She kept telling me to go out and weed, and I was so busy. And then when I came home, all I wanted to do was, sit on the couch and be a couch potato. And it was just so hot out there. So in the summer, so pretty soon, he goes, I mowed the lawn a little while ago. And his wife said to him, 3 months ago. He said, boy, time flies fast. She says, could you please get out there? We're having a party, and it's a backyard party, and I don't think the people can walk in our jungle. The weeds were like, yay, high, like about waist high. He went out there and he said, man, it only took me a half an hour to mow when the grass was short. Now he has to go pull out huge weeds. And he picks up this big old honking branch. It was about 5 inches wide. And it was about, this tall, about 3 or 4 feet tall. And he said, that was a weed that I had to pull out. And if I did this 3 months ago, it would have been this big, a half, a half an inch tall and maybe a, 1/100th of an inch skinny, and he could have just used his hands and pluck that thing out or go with the weed sprayer thing or whatever. But no, this one weed took root and he had to get a shovel and dig around it and dig around it and dig around it. Now he had a 5-foot wide trench and he had to dig down deep, deep, deep. He thought he almost hit China. And then he had to pull and pull and he couldn't do it by himself. He's sweating. And he said, I better cut off the top. So he got a chainsaw, cut off the top. Then he would cut some more off. They would pull and pull and pull. And he said, this is what I get for not attending to the weeds. And just think, oh, well, I'll get it later. But when it's small, it's really easier to get out. And now it had gone down and wide, the roots. And finally, after days of working on this thing, days, he got the whole thing out and he was so proud he had to bring it to church. His conquest over the weed, right? And the Lord said to me, that's what sin does when you don't get it out right away. That's what unforgiveness and bitterness does. It takes such great root and goes down, down deep into the heart. And then the tentacles of the roots go out and affect your body and affect your mind and affect every area of your life. And he said, Karen, get out the unforgiveness. Wow, that object lesson was like amazing, you know? And he was talking about getting sin out. And that was his topic. But the Lord took it further for me and said, unforgiveness grows very quickly, very rampant, and it digs deep. And when you forgive somebody, it's like the chainsaw, and the top's gone, but the roots are still there. And we have to dig deeper and see what else. And how many other things were we offended by that person? Or how many times did that person keep offending us? And we kept forgiving, and it kept coming back, and it kept coming back. And we think, oh, well, we forgave them last week, but see, 5 times this week they offended us, but we didn't forgive them for that. So we thought that last week counted. It doesn't. And so I had a memory challenge because the devil attacked me with a diagnosis of 2 types of cancer, and they didn't know if I was going to make it. They said it was radical cancer, was what they said, and I said, "Nope, I'm not receiving that report in the name of Jesus." And they said the cancer has populated. Population is good when it's something good you want to grow. But when it's something you don't want to grow and it's populating, it means it's spreading fast. And I had to sign a form releasing any liability when I went into surgery. But I said, you're not going to find cancer. But your pretests prove there's cancer. I said, no, it doesn't. It's a diagnosis. But God's word changes fact, and his word is truth. And I believe in his word. And in the name of Jesus, I have bound and cast out cancer, and I believe I don't have cancer in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says, you have to see what took place to cause it to root to enter to begin with. So he took me through some lesson plans, and I'm going to show you what the Lord showed me, and maybe it'll be an assistance to other people, because there's a lot of things that have occurred in my life that, people would not be aware of. I'm a very, very private person. Sometimes I'll share my testimony when the Lord tells me to. But the devil's a bad devil. And in generations, there may be people and families who are attacked by demons, and then they do stuff to people and then it propagates from generation to generation, right? So there are things that have happened to me in my life that my parents did not know about till way later in my life that I told them, because the victimizer told me he would kill me. And as a child, I believed it. I didn't tell my parents. And this was someone known to my entire family. And as a little child, I had to learn to forgive because I had to stand beside this person every day. I had to be nice to this person and respectful and work with this person. And they didn't know this person was a monster hurting me. And I had to forgive. And instead of being a normal child, I became very angry because I felt like nobody knows, and I feel lost, and I feel just so alone. And I cried out to God to help me. And at night, I would feel God's help, His peace. And He would say in my ear, "Forgive, for they know not what they do. Forgive, for they know not what they do." And every time someone has abused me, I ask God to forgive them. And I had to learn to love them. And I asked God to send people, to send Jesus to them so they wouldn't hurt other people. And there's been many things that have happened in my life that opened a door to being attacked and to be taken advantage of. And many men have raped me, put knives to my throat. People that were upstanding citizens whose fathers arranged for me to have a date because they were wealthy and very well known and respected in the community and raped me. And I couldn't say that to the upstanding father and work with this person on a regular basis and over and over and over. So I learned to become a man pleaser and do anything I was told, even if there was too much on my plate. And I would get sick because I was doing too much work. And I would never say no because I didn't want to offend somebody. And I never told anything to anybody. And if anyone yelled at me, I became a counterpuncher. If someone hurt me and offended me, I offended them back. And that wasn't a good thing. Because now an abused person becomes an abuser. And now someone who was yelling at me and I didn't like that, I became a yeller. And the Lord said, "What are you doing?" And He says, "Don't you see that the weeds are trying to overtake your heart and harden your heart?" And then I had to ask God to help me. And this is how He helped me. A, you reap what you sow. The parable of the sower teaches to sow good seed to reap good. Number two, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. I never wanted to be a tare. And people who become tarers, who cause terror to people, are tares. And then I had a memory loss challenge because of all this. And then I would have to write down lists of things that people kept offending me, but I was too scared to tell them they were offending me and saying things that were hurtful. I just took it and took it and took it. And then pretty soon I would just explode. And so I would write my list. So when I came to ABC and they said, "Write your list down," I went, "Oh, good, I get to write a list." Mine was probably longer than anybody else's ever in the history of known to man. I don't know. Pages after pages after pages. And every time we had a cleansing so that God would deliver us of demons that would cause these things, I would write a list of how people hurt me and I was offended. Then I would repent if I was offensive because I counterpunched. So I asked God to forgive me. And then one day the Lord says, You need to start telling people they offended you so they stop offending you. I said, oh, I can't do that. They'll just offend me more. They'll just retaliate. I don't know what the word revenge means because I don't do that. I just pray for them and honestly want God to help them and to stop hurting others. So the Lord says you have to tell them because it's the scripture. You have to be truthful and the truth will set you free. And maybe they're unaware that what they're doing is hurting you. And so I started to learn to confront people, but then I had to learn how to be more diplomatic, because if I'm hurting someone while I'm confronting them, that's not going to help them change, is it? I'm damaging them just like they damaged me. And I had to ask God to help me not do that. And this is how he helped me. So I wanted to continue learning how to be a good adult child of God and not be a terror. So number three, he said, forgiven you shall be forgiven, like Luke 6:37. Number four, forgive others that your heavenly Father may forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Number six, therefore, when you sow forgiveness, you'll reap what? Forgiveness from God. When you sow unforgiveness, you reap unforgiveness. And we know that in our minds. But when someone has done you wrong, you all of a sudden get mad. That's allowing the tares to come in. It opened the door. I have to learn not to get mad. And I have to learn to walk in peace, and that my battle is not against flesh and blood, but to love the person and hate the sin. And that's something that is not easy to do, but it's necessary to do. And I'm still learning to walk in that way. And then I go pray for the person. And then if it's not like someone who put a knife to my throat or who had raped me, then someone who would just maybe said angry words or they were rude, then I try to befriend them and develop and build a relationship. But I'm not going to be their friend if I don't tell them the truth that they were hurting me and hurting me and hurting me. And after almost 2 years of hurting me, I blew up and I said, okay, this is my list of I was offended, and I, all these pages, you offended me. Could you please at least pray that you could stop offending me? Is that unreasonable? I've done that with most of my very bestest friends. And we're closer than ever. And then I would say, what have I done to offend you? Because I don't want to keep doing it. And if I don't know and you don't tell me, I don't know what gets on your nerves. So they would share, we would forgive each other, and now we're closer than ever. It works because it's the word of God. And so what are the consequences of unforgiveness? Number one, sin hinders prayers. Number two, prayers are not answered if your heart condemns you. Because my heart was so hurt, I was not seeing any answers to prayer. And I thought God didn't even love me. I said, God, what's wrong? He said, check your heart. You didn't guard your heart. You let those tears in, and now you have to weed it out. Number three, with iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayers. But I was hurt, Lord. They did me wrong. Why do I have to be the one to go say sorry? Because you have to humble yourself. And Jesus said, I did nothing wrong. But I forgave. In my family, there's a lot of prideful people, and to this day, some of them never said sorry to me. And I'm one of the first that always goes and says sorry to them first. Whether I'm right or wrong, I always do it. You can ask my husband, you can ask my sister, you can ask my mom and dad. And what has that done? It has reconciled me to them. And then it gave me a platform to talk it through and to be able to tell them why I was hurt. And then I want to hear why they were hurt. And let's forgive each other and learn to work on those areas. It may not change overnight, But I don't know if you remember this parallel I taught before, but God constantly reminds me of when a friend of mine told me that they were putting cement patio, and then the next morning there was a mound of cement hardened in the driveway, and he couldn't get the car out the garage because they forgot to just, when it was wet, use a spatula, put it in a bag, put it in the trash. So he called the company, and it was a Sunday. He's trying to get to church, and they had to send guys out with a jackhammer. And it took hours to get that mound out. And the Lord said to him, and he taught me this, and it helped me a lot. He said, when my parents told me one of the treasures when James and I were getting married, they said, never let your son go down on your anger. You may not be able to resolve everything, but don't go to bed angry. Sometimes we were up to 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? But we didn't go to bed angry. We worked it out. He said, it's like wet cement. And when you forgive each other, it's like taking the spatula, putting it in a bag, put it in the garbage. If you let your heart harden with unforgiveness that night, it is so hard the next day. God has to jackhammer it out someday. And then we're hardened and not able to feel the love of God, and it affects our prayer life, and we don't receive what we need from God. So I'm quick to forgive. I'm not as quick as my husband, but I'm getting there. Right, honey? And we don't stay up till four anymore, okay? So if I come with bags under my eyes one day, you'll know what was happening. Okay. Yeah, that was challenging when his job meant that he had to wake up at four. Okay. So number five, unforgiveness brings tormentors. Oh boy. Tormentors are sickness, disease, pain in any way, shape, or form. Thoughts that go around in your mind and go round and round and round that just keep bringing back up the sin and rehearsing what they did to you over and over and over. That is a torment. You've got to get rid of it. That means the roots have to be uprooted, okay? Six, unforgiveness can result in being kicked out of the church and away from God's protective covering into the evil one's realm. It could be so bad that God will turn their back on that person if they really don't want to forgive and become reprobate. That's a bad place when they choose not to forgive and they want to hate and they want to take revenge and they want to destroy their enemy. And they've gotten so entrenched that they've invited those demons into their lives. None of us ever wanted to get to that point, right? And unforgiveness, number seven, can cause the person to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, some Christians have gotten so into unforgiveness that they've died early. And God has told me that some of them, it's because He wanted to save their souls, because if they kept going, they would have gone into witchcraft and He would have lost them forever. We need to really work on getting rid of the roots of unforgiveness. And what are the godly benefits of forgiveness? See, if you confess your known sins, then He, God, forgives you of all sins according to 1 John 1 9. Number two, forgiveness restores your relationships according to Matthew 18 15. If your brother sins against you, it does not say here that has an unpardonable sin. It does not say here that it's a sin that he's going to be kicked out of the church. It is a method for any kind of offense. But then if the person continues and doesn't want to change, then there are steps two and three. But we're going to look at step one and concentrate on that. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and rebuke him. Rebuke means correct him or confront them and let them know the truth in private. Don't do it in front of a whole party of people at a family reunion. That's embarrassing. And it's another sin upon another sin. Don't do it publicly in any way, shape, or form. Because a person, you didn't even talk to the person to see their side of the story. See, Proverbs says, how can you weigh a matter unless you weigh both sides? Any scientist knows that you have to get the evidence from each side and then you weigh it. But if you only talk to one party or you assume you don't even know the truth, you aren't even giving that person a chance, and the demon of miscommunication will always come in and bring strife and misunderstandings. And if you don't go and talk to that person to find out their truth and what they were doing, then we're giving in to the enemy of unforgiveness and offense. And we're propagating that. But if he or she listens to you have what? One, your brother or sister. What is God's plan for unity? We cannot be unified if we don't talk about our offenses one to another. Why? Because the person's just going to keep doing it to you. And that's abusive. And they don't want to be that way, but they don't know they're that way. So can't we help each other? If a house is on fire, would you walk by if it's a small fire and you could ring the doorbell and say, "Your house is on fire"? Or would you just let them burn up? I hope that people would help me and ring the doorbell and come help me. I welcome that if they're doing it in a spirit of love and not prejudgment and not misunderstanding, and ask me first my side so they could weigh both sides. Okay? And number three, forgive as many as 70 times seven, and your debts will be forgiven. No matter if they do it over and over and over, each time you have to forgive them. Because God forgives us every time we ask, right? So that what we sow, we have to give. And we want to reap. So if God keeps forgiving me, I want to keep forgiving others. And four, when you forgive, you must then forgive others from your heart. It must be heartfelt, not just a parrot. A parrot can say a prayer and it's not going to help them. You have to really mean it. And number five, forgiveness is the prerequisite to healing. And number six, receiving forgiveness gets you healed, like when Jesus forgave the paralytic of his sins. He said to the man, "Your sins have been forgiven. Take up your bed and walk." I never realized for a long time till I read that scripture and studied it how sin brings sickness and how forgiveness brings healing. It's a very powerful thing, and ABC really has taught me a lot of that. And number seven, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. If we don't help each other with kind words, not yelling, not being mean, not being stern, the love of God, it covers a multitude of sins. The love of God is what helps all of us. Amen? So if we want love, we have to be loving when we're talking to others. And I ask God to help me be more loving and not offensive. And help me not be offended. And help me get all the roots of bitterness and unforgiveness and offense out every time and go deeper and deeper so it won't get so huge. And so let's all say this prayer. And one thing that God taught me is that I wasn't forgiving myself. I would beat myself up. Oh, you, Karen, you were pretty rude to that person. Karen, you shouldn't have yelled. You know, Karen, you shouldn't have gotten on that person's nerves. Well, they didn't even give me a chance to talk, and they falsely accused me of something, so I'm just gonna tell it like, and then sometimes I just shut up and let them think whatever they want, and it's none of it's true. That's not right either. But when I do speak, it needs to be in kindness. And I'm learning how to be gracious with my words. And if I'm practicing on you, please remind me that I need to be gracious and kind with my words. Because we're all practicing. Amen? And we can help each other. So I'm going to do this twice. The first time we're going to talk about offense or forgiveness and forgive other people that maybe God has brought to your mind things that you haven't remembered to forgive, or you forgave that person 70,000 times already, but they did something this morning or something that you didn't remember to forgive them for because there were so many multiple things. I know that we're all, you know, not perfect yet. And so if anything comes to mind, then pray this prayer. If you've already gone through this today and you don't need to pray this. But the second time through, I want to ask you to really introspect in what things have you not forgiven yourself for? Any regrets? Any shortcomings or failures, insecurities, unworthiness? A lot of us don't realize. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now to show each and every one of us areas of unforgiveness and roots that we are going to weed out. The Holy Spirit is going to be a weed whacker tonight. Amen. Amen. He's going to get those tares out. Things that we didn't even know were there, but maybe have taken up a lot of root or gone deep. And we've cut the limbs, but haven't gone. And every single root hasn't gone yet. Because if I still wince when I hear somebody's name that hurt me, there's still a root I have to get out. But if it doesn't bother me anymore, like water going off a duck's back, boy, I must be doing pretty good in that area. So let's pray this, those of you that want to pray this and would like to ask the Father to help you. And I know God has been showing you some things as I've been speaking and revealing some things to you, hopefully, because we all need to keep working on this. So those of you that want to pray with me, pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive anyone who has offended me in any way, shape or form, knowingly or unknowingly, by omission or commission, and every person who has participated in any of my sins or caused me to sin. Or have been affected by my sins. And in the name of Jesus, I forgive each one of those people from my heart, whether they're living or already dead. And then you could whisper under your breath, I forgive them for hurting me, abandoning me, offending me, what they said about me. Just whisper whatever it was to the Lord. This is between you and God. Just take time. Okay, and if you have more, then you could finish this at home. And let's go to the next section. And I bless each of them, to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, forgiveness, and not become offended anymore. And to draw closer to Jesus, if they're a Christian. And if they're not a Christian, I send laborers in the field to minister salvation to them. I bless them with health, prosperity. I bless their family. I bless them with goodness and kindness and all the things the Heavenly Father wants to bestow on each of them in Jesus' name. And then we're going to sing a song to them. And I love them with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love them with the love of the Lord. I can see in them the glory of my King, and I love them with the love of the Lord. Now we're going to forgive ourselves. Let's go back to the top. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive anyone who has offended me, and I forgive myself in every way, shape, and form. No matter what, no one made me sin. I choose to react or respond.
I choose to react or respond.
The way I did.
The way I did.
Forgive me, Heavenly Father.
Forgive me, Heavenly Father.
For not acting.
For not acting.
In the fruit of the Spirit.
In the fruit of the Spirit.
And I forgive you, Heavenly Father.
And I forgive you, Heavenly Father.
If I was offended or angry with you.
If I was offended or angry with you.
And in the name of Jesus.
I forgive myself,
and I forgive God from my heart
of all my failures,
of all my mistakes,
of all my shortcomings,
of all my regrets,
of all the things I should have done,
of all the things I should not have done,
of not obeying the Word of God,
of being hurtful to other people,
and allowing myself to be offended by other people.
And I forgive myself
for anything
that I did
or said
or thought
that did not line up
with the Word of God.
I bless myself
to walk in love,
joy,
peace,
patience,
forgiveness,
and not become offended anymore.
I bless myself
to walk in goodness,
gentleness,
faithfulness,
self-control,
and humbling myself unto God.
And I bless myself
to inquire more of the Holy Spirit.
What are my unaware sins?
So I can get more roots of unforgiveness out.
And I forgive myself
of any guilt,
condemnation,
self-hatred,
hatred,
sabotage,
self-sabotage,
rejection,
self-rejection,
rejecting others,
being offended,
being offensive,
having unforgiveness
of others
and of myself.
And I love myself with the love of the Lord.
Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord.
Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord.
I can see in me the glory of my King,
and I love me with the love of the Lord.
Once again.
Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord.
Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord.
I can see in me the glory of my King,
and I love me with the love of the Lord.
Now I'm going to pray for you.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that each person that has heard this teaching has sown forgiveness and continue to want to sow forgiveness. And I ask you, Lord, to bless them. Let them reap so many more benefits as they have gone to a deeper place tonight in walking in their forgiveness walk. I thank you, Lord God, that their sins are no more. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. And I thank you, Lord, that they are no longer going to allow the demons to bring those thoughts of the past to them, that they have a new start, a do-over. And I thank you, Lord God, that you restore every relationship that is godly. I thank you that they continue to forgive 70 times 7 or more, and all their debts have been forgiven. I thank you, Lord God, that they have forgiven from their hearts, and therefore their hearts are purified and clean in that area. I thank you, Lord God, for healing them of the wounds of the past, emotions, their thoughts, all the negative things that the devil did to them. Take away the bad memories and the pain associated with those memories. Heal their physical hearts. Heal brokenness spiritually and physically. Thank you, Lord God, that you are touching each and every one of us. and healing our memories to see, Lord God, who we are in Christ Jesus, who we are now. That's what counts, not who we used to be. That person doesn't exist anymore, and we're releasing that, and we're becoming more and more like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing our minds, healing our bodies. Thank you for helping us to be kinder to each other, more tender-hearted, and forgiving, loving persons as God in Christ forgave each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.